Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Southeast Wisconsin has some of the best high school and college athletes in the country. How did they get their start? Where did they begin their journey? It's time to talk about some of the best youth sports programs in the area. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will. It's time for the Youth Sports Show with the Fans High School Insider, Big Time, Mike McGivern.
Welcome into the Youth Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern, and we are talking about a really important subject today. I got to tell you, I was asked a number of weeks ago to be on a panel to talk to basketball officials, to referees, and I thought, man, what am I getting myself into? And some really good back and forth, I thought, from that. And one of the things that really came out of it was the fact that we're having a hard time keeping young officials. And I started asking why, and it was interesting because before the article came out in the paper and before the WIAA put out an article called Cool It, which is, hey, parents, enough, we had this conversation. And when I was talking to these guys, I was surprised because it's about a two-year deal. Young officials come in, they start refereeing in youth sports, and 2 years, and they're out. And I said, why is that? And I thought, well, maybe the money wasn't right or maybe they got another job. It wasn't any of that. It was that they can't take some of the abuse from some of the parents, some of the coaches. And I said, man, we need to talk about that. And these guys were willing to come in. So I have to thank these two referees, both past presidents of the Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association, Andy Gallion and Jeff Lewis. Guys, thanks a lot. Andy, it's good to see you guys both. How you been?
Pretty good, Mike.
Yeah, come closer to the mic if you can. Thank you. Hey, before we get into all this, I wanted to do a shout-out. I know last week I was out of town. We went up to La Crosse, and it was the week for Yellow Whistles for Greg, and we're big supporters of that and the Von Rudin family. We've got referees all over the place in that family. Can you imagine what Thanksgiving is like? You made a bad call. No, you made a bad call or whatever. I don't know what they talk about at Thanksgiving, to be honest with you. But Yellow Whistles for Greg, you can still be involved with this, and if you don't know anything about it, let me tell you about it. It's always hard to talk about it because being a parent, now a grandparent, it's difficult when somebody passes. And Yellow Whistles for Greg, an event honoring Greg Von Rudin, they've raised over $35,000 for Make-A-Wish Foundation. And right now, you can still get involved with this year. They've got a young girl that is 4 years old, and she's struggling with leukemia. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She loves riding her bike, blowing bubbles, and watching Coco. And she wants to go see Disney World. So let's make this thing happen and see if next spring can help to get her there. If you go to the easiest way to do it, I think, is to go to their website, the WISBOA. So it's Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association.net. Sorry about that. Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association.net. And right there, it's Yellow Whistles for Greg. You can still make a donation. My wife and I did this morning, in fact, because we, after reading this and knowing how important it is that they do this, and having these grandkids, I used to be this tough dude, man. Now I'd like get teary-eyed all the time. But this one got me. And she's, again, a four-year-old girl. Just, man, she likes riding her bike. She likes blowing bubbles watching Coco. She wants to go see Mickey Mouse. Let's get her to Mickey Mouse through Yellow Whistles for Greg. What a great program. You guys obviously are fully invested in that because the Von Rudin family, very good friends of both of you. And if we can continue this legacy of their son to be able to help kids, then it's the least that we can do. Anyway, sorry about that. Let's talk a little bit about being an official in today's day and age, boys. Andy, you've been an official a long time. I remember when you started, you were 15, 16?
15 years old.
15 yeah. years old.
It's a long time ago.
No, you look bad. Yeah, you look good. I'm telling you, you look good. But you've been doing this now for a while. When you were 15 years old, did you have any idea that you were going to stay in it for this long so far?
27 years, no, I did not. I got into it because my dad did it. Phil Galleon, he officiated for 29 years. And so I just grew up with it. I got to be friends with his friends. I'd tag along with him to gyms on Saturday mornings. Started going to varsity basketball games with him. And it just became ingrained for me.
Yeah.
And the opportunity came about one weekend, and I jumped on it, and I never turned back.
Never turned back. Jeff, how about you? Jeff Lewis?
Yeah, thanks.
How long have you been doing this?
First of all, thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm kind of an anomaly here. I started when I was in eighth grade, just through the rec department, working second,
sure.
third grade basketball on Saturday mornings, and kind of carried it through high school and then in college, working kind of the weekend warrior tournaments and working my way through high school. And then when I went to grad school in the Twin Cities, I got to the state tournament my first year in grad school because of all the work with high school, and then started working college right around that same time. So it progressed pretty quickly for me.
The passion that you guys have, and it's interesting because as a basketball coach, you know, there's a lot of passion on our side, a lot of passion on your side. Did you both have that early on? Now, different story with you because you saw the passion your father had, who was a heck of an official, by the way, the passion that he had. And Jeff, same thing with you. When you were that young, eighth, ninth grade, did you have the kind of passion that you thought, man, this is something I'm going to keep doing?
Not really, no. I mean, it was kind of a means to an end at the time, right?
Making a little money? And...
Right, you know, it was $5.15 an hour, I think, at that time with minimum wage.
Okay, that was a while ago.
Right, right. But, you know, throughout that progression with working in college, it definitely was a means to making some beer money or some other spending money on the side. And at that time, you know, you had a few mentors along the way, Bob Grisey, if that name rings a bell to you, but some of those individual mentors definitely helped you, you know, feed that drive of, you know, I really like doing this.
Andy, same question for you, the passion part of it.
Yeah. You know, I got into it and all my dad's friends helped me. So I kind of had a unique situation in which I was set up to have a network of guys that were there to help me out from the beginning. So, you know, I got into it and I liked it. I liked the challenge of it. I liked being out on the floor. And being a part of the game that way. But, you know, definitely once I started to get into it, realized that I really did enjoy it and just wanted to continue trying to grow with officiating.
And as a young guy or young girl, we need girl officials as bad as we need young men officials. Look, it's a way that you can make some extra dollars, you know, and you were in eighth grade, you know, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th. You can do this kind of stuff, work weekends, stay fit, stay part of the game if you like basketball, and make some money doing it, which all sounds great. The issue is everything else that goes with it. And look, I've told you guys both this, and you both probably have heard me say this. When I started coaching, it was not good. I was, you know, back then it was everybody wanted to be Bobby Knight or wanted to be that type. And I had a parent back then with the big VHS tapes tape a game. And after she said, look, I taped this game for you, I said, you're kidding. Thank you. And she said, please don't be mad at me. I didn't tape it for the reason you think I taped it, and walked away. And I didn't know what she meant. And then she taped me and how ridiculous I looked and how ridiculous I sounded, you know, talking to officials and players and stuff, and I was embarrassed. I was totally embarrassed. And it made me kind of step back and say, what are you doing? Look how ridiculous you sound. And you look, well, this article that they wrote, the WIAA, has similar things in that. And I just want to read the first two paragraphs, and that'll be our jumping off point here. If you're a mother or father of a high school athlete here in Wisconsin, this message is primarily for you. When you attend an athletic event that involves your son or daughter, cheer to your heart's content. Enjoy the camaraderie that high school sports and youth sports offer, and have fun. But when it comes to verbally criticizing game officials or coaches, cool it. Guys, you've been doing this a long time. How much worse is it now? And you guys don't do youth sports anymore, but the reason I brought you in is because everything I keep reading, the reason we're losing young officials is because what's going on at the youth level. You guys were in that level, and what are you hearing? First of all, in the high school and college level, has it gotten worse when it comes to people in the crowd, or has that calmed down a little bit?
I think across the board, it's gotten worse. And I think it's a bit of a trickle-down effect. You know, you see things occur on TV, in the NBA, at the Division I level, and those types of actions trickle down. But I also think that it's a general lack of oversight from game management, from coaches of their parents within the program.
It's a great point.
And I think it's a broad issue. It's across the board. It happens at the collegiate level. But I think you have other parents or coaching staff kind of have that ability to rein it in a bit. At the high school level, I think you have coaches that are stepping up and kind of making this an issue. But at the grade school level, at the youth sports level, I think, you know, you have parent coaches. You have other individuals that are involved that maybe don't want to take on the confrontation with someone that is their neighbor or their kid's
right.
friend's parent. You know, and this issue just continues to snowball.
Hey, Andy, you bring a different perspective now. You're coaching.
Yeah,
right?
I am coaching. Yeah.
You're coaching at the youth level.
I am.
It can go one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? There are some guys that have reffed and now coaching, and I think they're harder on officials. Yeah. How are you as a coach? You've been in their shoes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I got to give a shout out to my girls' team, the 7th grade girls at Wauwatosa Catholic. Big game today.
Woo! What's your nickname?
The Saints.
The Mighty Saints.
Yeah,
let's go,
right.
Saints.
Yeah.
Go get one
we
today.
Got a big one here this morning. But, no, it's interesting. I know a lot of the guys that are reffing our games. And so, you know, they see me come into the gym, and I don't think a lot of them know that I'm coaching.
Oh,
and so
man.
They're on their toes a little bit more.
Sure.
But I don't really say anything to them at all.
Yeah.
I just worry about coach because at 7th grade, that's all I really need to do is just coach.
Right.
I'm not there to talk about officiating, and there's really nothing that I can do or say. Even knowing the game as an official, that's going to change the way that game's being officiated. So just coach my team.
Wait, are you saying this game that the Saints have today is not for the national championship?
Oh.
Because every game, you know, look, every game their parents think is for the national championship because their son or daughter's going to the show. You're going to the show, so make sure that you don't make a bad call against my son or my daughter. For me, not only that videotape, but being in and around for a few years AAU basketball was so eye-opening for me. The abuse that these officials were taking was incredible. And I used to think, boy, they got a short fuse. Well, you know what? They have a short fuse, but they also have a long memory. And I think that short fuse might come from the memory of, look, this guy's been on me for 3 years on every single call. The other thing before we get to a break, I asked an assistant varsity basketball coach, and he was not happy with me, but I'm not kidding. I swear I wasn't being a jerk. It sounds like I was, but I wasn't. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Do you guys feel as a coaching staff that if you guys complain about literally every single call, and then you allow your players to complain about every call, and then the fans see that, and then they complain about every single call, do you guys get more calls? Like, I was really wondering if that was this is our game plan. If we get on the officials on every call and our players do it and our crowd does it, we actually get better calls. And he got really upset with me because it sounds like a jerk question. But I was really being serious. Like, wow, I wonder if that's effective for you guys. When you see I'm on a coaching staff that the head coach says don't say anything to the officials. Not one word. If you want to say hello, that's great. But I have I'll deal with them if they need to be dealt with, or I'll talk to them, or they'll talk to me. Other staffs don't have that. Other staffs, do you see that trickles down when a whole staff yells, then the players feel like they can, and then the crowd as well?
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, it's a culture. And you see it with certain programs. And, you know, to your point, Mike, definitely, if you're hearing it every time down the floor, well, it's like, I know I'm not getting them all wrong.
Right.
At the same time, we're human beings, so we're going to be annoyed by that. at some point.
Right.
So it's going to probably change how we're, you know, just our demeanor on the floor in
general. He didn't talk to me for 2 years. And I tried to tell him, I'm not kidding, I wasn't. And now thinking back and hearing it, yeah, it sounded like a complete jerk question, but I really was honest, like wanted to know if that was a game plan that worked for them or not. Guys, let's get to a break. This is the U Sports Show, and the reason we're talking to Andy Gallion and Jeff Lewis, both past presidents of the Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association, is I don't know if it's a crisis stage, but it's getting close. And we need to make sure that we allow young guys and girls to become officials, work their way through the youth sports programs, and feel comfortable to the point that they get an age, then they're high school officials and then possibly college officials. Because, look, we have some older guys wanting to retire, and they're not retiring because nobody's taking their place. And where it's coming from is it all started, I think, with this article. It started with that panel that I was on with a couple of other guys. But to read this from the WIAA, we need to address it. And these guys have been willing to come in for an hour and address it. You can go to their website. It's WISBOA. So it's Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association.net. Really good information on there. And again, we started the show. There's still time. If you want to donate some money, Yellow Whistles for Greg, still available. And please do that. You know what? If you read what this is for and you don't donate, come on now. It's something that you'll do some good work for this girl. Let's send her to Disney World and get that taken care of. Again, this is the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside our two guests, Andy Gallion and Jeff Lewis, both past presidents of the Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. And if you've just joined us, would you guys say it's critical? It's not a crisis yet, right? Critical, though.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, really. And so we need to have young officials that are willing to start in this process. Here's what I know. You become an official, it's kind of like being part of the family. And here's how I know this firsthand. I can rip on my sister all day long, but don't you do it, because if you do it, you get in some trouble. I ripped on an official on the air one time. All you boys that liked me for a long time, man, wouldn't you were mean mugging me. It was bad. And so I realized at that point, it's like, if you say something about one of my sisters, I can rip on her, but don't you. Hey, guys, if there are parents out there that feel like they've got an eighth grade, a ninth grade son, daughter, what's the process if they want to look into becoming an official? How do they do that?
Sure. Yeah, they, to register with the state through the WIAA, there's a process that's outlined on their website. So you just go online, you pay your registration fee, and the best thing to do is to join an association. In our group, the Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association, the largest group in southeastern Wisconsin, we have a dedicated program geared toward training brand new officials. So high school age kids and older, anybody that's sure. brand new to officiating is going to get a classroom that's designed specifically toward the basics. So if you've never blown a whistle in your life, you can go to this classroom during our meeting season and have training that's specialized toward just getting you into it.
And no other association in the state offers the comprehensive training program that we do. We partner with the California Basketball Officials Association. And they basically produce 4 to 5 booklets, easy-to-read booklets, that we provide to our members, our high school members included. And to Andy's point, we're the largest one-sport association in the state. We have 200-plus members. We're totally devoted. We're a 501c3 approved, only one in the state, where our purpose is educational. We are educating amateur sports officials.
So this, you guys formed in 2012. What was the mindset of forming this association back in 2012 and the steps you've taken to make sure that you guys are known as not only the biggest but the best? Was that when you guys started in 2012, you said, look, there's a need for this and this is the direction we're going to go?
Yeah, absolutely. There's over 50 sports officials associations in the state. And in southeastern Wisconsin, there's the Milwaukee Officials Association, the Midwest Minority Officials Association, Racine Lakeshore. There's a lot. But when we looked at generally what is the need in southeastern Wisconsin and generally across the state, it truly was, if we want to set ourselves apart, if you want to be an elite official, you need to ensure that annually you're going through a rigorous training program. And whether that's just looking at video, whether that's taking an additional test, we have a 100-question classification exam on top of the WIAA 100-question exam that's a required for our membership to take every year. So our goal was truly to produce the best basketball officials in the state. And I think we're well on our way to getting there. We year over year, the last 3 years, we've had the highest proportion of officials working at the state tournament level, which I think is 100% a testament to what we put in.
So people can go to the WIA website to start the process.
Exactly.
If you want more information, you can go to their website as well. Again, it's WIS, so it's Wisconsin, B-O-A. .net. It's Wisconsin Basketball Official Association. And go to their website. Just Google that. And there's a lot of good information on the website. It's interesting to me. You guys continue to do it. It's not like you become an official and then you stop training, you stop learning, you stop, because there's rule changes all the time. But going to that meeting that you guys had that we were invited to, I wasn't really impressed with how you want to just continue to make sure that everybody is on the same page. It's okay to ask questions or have concerns or get into it. Look, I don't think that's right. I don't think this is right. But at the end of the day, when you guys walk out on the court, you feel like you're fully ready to go, correct?
It's continuous improvement, really. And you could ask Andy or I over the past month, have we come across a situation where maybe we didn't know the rule or how to call or adjudicate a play correctly. And frankly, that continuous learning is something that every official goes through every single year. But we basically try to put everything pen to paper. Here's a process. Here's an established training program that we're going to show videos on certain topics, contact with jump shooters, block charges. We'll go through everything throughout our training program.
And so young officials that may have some interest and they're listening to the show or parents that say, hey, look, you got to get out of the basement this summer, and you can't keep playing video games all the time. So this is something that I think you'd be interested in. They go to the WIA website, and will you guys be involved in the training, or is it younger guys training younger guys or officials that have been doing it for a while will also step in?
Yeah, we have a lot of members that are willing to help. And an example is a young guy that reached out to our website because of the Journal Sentinel article. And he contacted WBOA. We reached out to him immediately. I talked to him last week. He's a 2015 Tulsa East grad. He played basketball, played high school basketball.
Perfect.
4 years. Exactly. Senior at UWM, wants to get into officiating. Never blown a whistle. I said, hey, you want to come along to our game last night? Waukesha North, Waukesha South. Just shadow, pick, you know, take it all in. Just watch the officiating. Came out afterwards. Denny Von Reeden meets him, says, hey, you want to ref tomorrow? Third grade basketball game. So today, Jack is reffing his first game.
Oh, man.
Just like that. But that's how it happens.
Yeah.
And we're all willing, especially for a guy like that, who's played ball, knows the game, wants to get into it.
Right.
I mean, we need guys like that.
He's going to be nervous today.
Absolutely.
Third grade.
Absolutely.
And look, the first time that I'm sure you put that whistle on, and now you're in control of the part of this game, he's going to be a little bit nervous, but what a perfect way for him to start. And then I'm sure he's going to have 8,000 questions after to say, hey, look, was I in the right position? Did I make the right call? I think it's really that's really cool. What a great story. And again, you can start. I would go to these guys' website. That's what I would do. Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. It's wisboa.net. That's the first thing I would do. Or go to the WIAA. Here's one part of that article that came out from the WIAA that I want to start after the break, and this will be our jumping off point. But it says, according to a recent survey by National Association of Sports Officials, listen to this number. More than 75% of all high school officials say adult behavior is the primary reason they quit. And 80% of all young officials hang up their stripes after just 2 years of whistleblowing. Why? Because they don't need the abuse. That's eye-opening. Those are eye-opening numbers. 75% of high school officials say adult behavior, not player behavior, adult behavior. Coaches and parents is the primary reason they quit, and 80% of young officials hang them up. And why? Because they don't need the abuse. Well, I'll tell you, we have a long way to go. And if this show, if we can start the process of turning that now so some of these young guys and girls can get in and become officials and stay in it and fall in love with it the way these two guys have, I'll tell you this. When you talk about officiating to Andy Gallion and Jeff Lewis, I like talking to Andy about his seventh grade Saints team. That girls' team, they're playing for the national championship today. They run the flex better than most teams.
No thanks to the coaching.
No coaching, yeah, no doubt. Thank goodness Tulsa Catholic. They've got some good basketball players over there. But look, when you get done talking about family and that, and you start talking about the game that we all love, which is basketball. Look, I've been coaching 36 years. I love it. I just love what it brings to young people. And not only the playing and the winning and some tough losses, stuff like that, but when you talk to these guys 5, 6, 10, 15 years later, they bring up, hey, do you remember, Coach, when we went out to lunch? Do you remember when we were on that car ride? Very few of it is, hey, do you remember when we lost that game or won that game? Do you remember when so-and-so did this and we had to stay overnight in lacrosse and the kid pushed the other kid in the pool? That kind of stuff is what they talk about. Let's make sure that we allow these young officials to learn their craft without us abusing them. And that's what this show is about. This is the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's the longest I've been hanging out with officials, and nobody teed me up so far. So it's 30 minutes. That's not bad. Andy Gallion, Jeff Lewis, just wait. That's awesome. This is the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. So I asked these guys to come in because to get officials, young officials, to start that process and stay with it. They have a number of guys that and girls that it is co-ed, right? You guys men and women that have joined the Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association is a high number each year, but to retain them at times is not as high as they would like. And again, we ended last segment by me giving these numbers, and I was the only one in this room surprised by the numbers. But according to a recent survey, 75% of high school officials say adult behavior is the primary reason they quit. 80% young officials hang up their stripes after just 2 years. Why? Because they don't need the abuse. And I'm surprised at those numbers, and you guys just kind of looked at me like, no, that doesn't really surprise me. What that tells me is the adults in the room are not doing what adults should do, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like Jack today, right? It's like learning to play an instrument on stage in front of a packed concert hall. I mean, you don't just go out onto a basketball court and practice reffing by yourself.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of weird, but like...
You might.
And you did it. Come on. You trust me. You're looking at the mirror and making those calls.
All right. So, thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
But no, I mean, seriously, you can only start refereeing on the floor during a game. So, you know, we have to create environments for young officials to be able to make mistakes.
Right.
To be able to fail and to be able to learn and for the good of the game. You know, we have to allow them to just work games without being all over them. All right. Because it doesn't, you know, third and fourth grade, I mean, the officiating just doesn't matter.
Right. It does not matter. Do you think, and we're using Jack because, look, he came to the game with you guys. He reached out, said, this is what I want to do. And he's doing a third grade game today. What's your hope for him when that game is over? What is your hope? Like, he's like, man, this was fun. That I could be better. I could do more. Is that kind of what you hope happens?
I think that's number one, that you walk off the court thinking, I enjoyed that. This is something that I want to continue doing. I think secondarily, you hope that he walks off the floor saying, man, there's three areas I wish I can improve on, or three things that I want to do differently. Because you learn by failing. And by allowing our officials, whether they're high school officials starting out or 20-year veteran varsity officials, getting out on the floor and failing at something is going to be one of the first and foremost reasons that someone's going to change and improve.
Right.
And I know it's the same for Andy and myself. You know, specifically about young officials coming in, you know, we have at the WBOA, we have a great program, Ken Schimpf, Denny Von Ruden, Ron Jaggard, you know, all these guys are, have invested time and effort in finding opportunities for young officials, whether it's third grade rec ball on Saturdays, you know, a seventh and eighth grade game during the week, et cetera. And we try to set people up for success, and you want to set them up for success, but you always hope that there's just a little piece of failure so someone can learn from it.
Right.
If you're succeeding 24/7, you're not going to feel like you're improving.
Or if you feel like you're succeeding 24/7.
Correct.
Because there are some officials, as you guys know, that feel like they've never, they don't make any mistakes. And maybe inside they know they did, but to coaches they don't. I think it would be, I'm not going to do it, but I think it'd be incredible if all coaches put the stripes on for a third grade game or a fourth grade game and just felt what that was like. You know what? To be out there with that whistle, having people yell at you a little bit, having coaches challenge you, having kids look at you, I think it would be really important if coaches had to do that for 1 or 2 weeks.
Coaches and fans, I think, because everybody can sit back and say, you know, that's a foul, that's a travel or whatever. But until you are actually on the floor, you put air in the whistle, and the entire game stops, and the gym's looking at you,
right.
And then you have to know what to do next. You have to know, you know, where to walk. You have to know what to say. You know, have to know how to report something to the table, you know, with everybody looking at you at that moment. People don't understand that part of officiating and how hard that can be.
How long did it take you to get comfortable with that part of being an official?
You know, I think it's a lot of it correlates to age and maturity. You know, I think as I've gotten older, you know, I've become more comfortable with that and just more experience officiating, kind of commanding more of the entire gym, and having more of a presence where, you know, I'm exuding confidence with calls and knowing when to take the heat, right? So if I'm making a call that's a 50-50 play, Mike, I might know that I'm going to expect to hear something from you guys, and that's going to be okay, but it makes coming over to report something, you know, that much easier, I guess, when I expect it.
You know, you bring up a really good point, Mike, and a lot of it is perception, and it's a two-way street, right?
Right.
I mean, officials have a perception of coaches and players based on behavior, et cetera, but coaches have a perception of officials as
you
well.
Bet.
You know, someone always used to say to me, when you walk onto a plane, you want to look at the cockpit and see a pilot with a little salt and pepper to kind of know that there's some experience there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, coaches view officials in the same vein, you know, of I'm going to go out on the floor and maybe see Andy's salt and pepper hair and think, you know, hey, Andy's had experience. He knows what he's doing. And you might look at a younger official that doesn't have,
radio,
you know, et cetera. Yeah, you can't see what's going
no.
on. Someone that maybe looks like they don't have experience, and all of a sudden that trust factor is much less than what it would be as if you see potentially an older official, potentially an official that you've seen 3 to 4 times before.
Look, I don't know exactly where or when, but I remember him, Andy, as a young official, and I remember the first or second time I had him, and I thought, oh, you got to be kidding. And he was a young guy that commanded respect early in doing this, and when I found out that his father was an official and who he was, it didn't surprise me, but I thought, okay, he is not... It doesn't matter that I've been around the game a long time. He's not going to take that from me. And I'm not going to change the way this kid. And he was fully confident at an early age. I was asked, one of the questions I was asked when I came over and met with you guys, what's the difference between a good official and a great official? And for me, it's be in the right position, sell the call. When you blow the whistle, if you hesitate and then call block, I go absolutely crazy. But you sell the call, I just think, well, you know what? He saw something I didn't. And look, when you can take some of these young officials that we're trying to reach out to right now, guys that aren't officials but want to be officials, young girls that are, you know, freshmen in high school that say, look, I don't want to work at McDonald's. I'm an athlete. I want to stay in the game. I know the rules, but I could be an official. I'd like to try to be an official. That's who I want to talk to. Because, look, if you're going to do this, then be really good at it. Be really good at it. And you can go a long way. I don't think it's ever been a better time. Do you guys to say, look, if you're somebody that really gets invested in this, you can work as much as you want. You can make a lot of money doing this if you want, and you can go to a pretty high level if that's something that you feel like you want to do. I don't think it's ever been better for that.
Yeah, it's the best college job you could find as well.
Absolutely.
$20-$30 an hour. I mean, you can't beat that.
Right.
You can work, you know, 20 grade school games on a weekend and walk out with $600 cash. I mean, how many opportunities are there that you can do that?
Yeah. And, you know, and I think what you're seeing is you're seeing kind of a shift. You know, we've talked about pay before and as an issue. You know, you can work in basketball. You can work a varsity game on a Friday night for $55. Or I can work a four-game set Saturday morning for $120.
Right.
I can work a whole weekend warrior tournament and walk out with $400 or $500, $600 if I'm working every day. It's kind of an issue because what you're seeing and what I think is happening is you're seeing that officials are putting up with a lot more abuse, more parent involvement on the weekend warrior tournaments, and they're being compensated at a high rate for that. While on a Friday night, when you might be receiving that same level for one game or even more for a varsity game, and only being compensated for $55, it's not a level playing field, and you're seeing that need for officials on the Tuesday and Fridays continually increase because the supply of officials is increasing for the weekend tournaments.
Well, yeah. And look, I didn't know what you guys got paid until that meeting, and I was surprised at how low it was for a Friday night varsity basketball game. I know this. A few years ago, I wasn't sure if it's two man or three man. It's got to be three man. At the varsity level, there's no looking back at this point because it's so much better for everybody involved. The fear from coaches was, two guys, if the third guy's not making calls now, he's going to start, hold on a second. I better start making some calls to prove none of that's happened.
Yep.
None of that's happened. I think the games have been much better officiated, and the players are quicker and faster in getting up and down the court, so it's important we have three.
So, Mike, you're a football guy. You know,
sure.
I can work a football game on a Saturday, an eighth grade or peewee football game for $50 a game. I can work a varsity high school football game on a Friday night for $55. Where do you think those officials are going to be working? A four-game youth set on Saturday morning for $200 or a $55 game on Friday night?
Yeah, something's got to be done with that.
Yeah, and that's preventing people from wanting to get into the higher levels.
Right.
Like Jeff just said, on Tuesdays and Fridays, I've been asked three separate times this year to come early and ref either the freshman or the JV game before the varsity game just because there is a shortage.
Wow. Yeah, we wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like to see you doing the freshman game and then coming back doing the varsity game. He's Andy Gallion. You could do it. Some other guys, I don't know. I'd have to go wake them up. Andy Gallion, Jeff Lewis, both past presidents of the Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. Again, if you want to start to be an official, if you haven't done it, now'd be a great time to do it. And there is a shortage. So you can, if you take this seriously, you can get enough games that, you can use this as a part-time job, stay in shape, be part of basketball. And I would highly recommend you go to their website, Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. Just Google that or go to wiskboa.net for more information. This is the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. So I was letting in eight wives for the next show. Boys, what do you think of that? Coach's Wives Show.
It'll be a fun hour.
Two
hours.
10 to noon. Look at me. 10 to noon. And half Dr. Phil, half Oprah Winfrey the next show. I do. I believe this. I believe there's a special place in heaven for Coach's Wives. I just do. You know what? It used to be 6 months. Then it was 7, then it was 8, it was 9. Some of these guys, it's 12. I mean, you know, the coach at Franklin, Tyler, he does AAU, he never stops. He just keeps going. And for some of us, it's kind of like, okay, basketball's over, take a month, then we'll get open gyms, we get in the weight, you know, that kind of stuff. But some of these guys just keep going, and we're going to talk about what that does to a marriage, what that does to a relationship. And if you're coaching the Mighty Saints, what does that do? I should ask your wife to come in, Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? That would have been a special, you know what?
Referee wives.
Referee wives.
Yeah.
That'd be another episode.
Speaking of that, does she come and watch you ref, or is she?
Oh, God, no.
She does not?
No, not at all.
What is she like when you're coaching? Quiet?
She's a fan.
Yeah.
Of the girls. You know, she doesn't. I don't know. She doesn't really comment on my coaching, which I guess is probably a good thing.
Did you know she should film it and I'll break it down for her, and then she's got a few things. My wife always said your team doesn't box out. 36 years, not one of my team. We just out rebounded that team by 12. Your teams don't box out well enough. I'm like, oh my goodness. Hey guys, let's continue. There's one other paragraph in this article from the WIAA that I want to talk about. It's this last paragraph. Research confirms that participation in high school sports and activities instills a sense of pride in school and community. I think we all agree with that. Teaches lifelong lessons like the value of teamwork, self-discipline, facilitates the physical and emotional development of those who participate. Nobody would argue with that statement. So if the games go away because there aren't enough men and women to officiate them, the loss will be certainly greater than an L on the scoreboard, be putting a dent in your community's future. And that's the fear I have. If we don't look, you guys, you continue to official for a long, long time. But there are guys that have talked about, look, this might be my last year. I might have one more in me. I don't see enough in the funnel to take their place.
Yeah, you know, in what other profession is it kind of standard that you recruit and train your own replacement?
Right.
You know, so, you know, we're taking on a pretty large task of trying to cast a wide net. Who wants to officiate? You know, and we talked at the panel, Mike, that you participated in. You know, if every AD, every coach across the state nominated one or two of their senior players or their senior players' parents to say, hey, you guys might be potential officials, we'd be 600-plus new recruits on an annual basis.
Right.
At least. But that isn't currently happening. So we're trying to be creative of what other avenues, what other venues can we go to and profess that basically officiating is something that's rewarding. You know, those that are playing the sport or want to stay with the sport, here's an avenue for you to continue to do that.
Jeff Lewis, can I ask you, what about officiating do you like the most? What about it has kept you in the game this long?
Competition. You know, the night in, night out, to try to always improve, to be better than I was the night before, I think is something that I always try to strive for. And honestly, you never get there. You feel like you get close some nights. Other nights, you feel like that gap widens much greater. But you never get there. And night in, night out, I always want to beat myself the way I performed the night before.
Andy, same question?
Same thing. Same answer. I mean, it's the ultimate challenge. There's always something to work on. There's always something to try to improve upon.
It's a little like golf, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It keeps you coming back because you never ref the perfect game. Last night, there's some things that I'd like to clean up. So I work on those things the next time I take the floor.
You know, I'm glad you said that because the Waukesha North coach's wife is in the studio. She'd like to talk to you during the break. Ollie's got a couple of things she wants to know. I'm just kidding. She said, no, we love them. We won. So it's okay. This part of this game that I've loved for so long, that my fear is, okay, we don't have enough officials. We're going to have to go back to two-man. Or we can't. We're going to only be able to play one JV game or one freshman game a week because we don't have enough. We've already got the same officials doing freshman and JV. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've gotten to that point. That never used to be the case, but that's the point that we have now. And I think that's okay. They're getting two games, and they're doing the freshman and JV. But if we ever say, hey, look, they're going to have to do freshman, JV, and varsity, man, we're in bad shape. And I don't think that's that far down the road. And that's my fear. And again, in this article, and I think it's really well written by the WIAA, cool it. You know, parents in the crowd, enough. You know what? This is not the national championship. The Saints, what time do you guys play today?
11:15.
Where do you play?
Wauwatosa Catholic. It's a home game.
It's a home game. Head over there. It's $2, $3, $4 to get in. Good popcorn. Don't really know. If you say that you're listening to Andy Galley and you get a half off on
walking
second
tacos.
Popcorn, walking tacos.
Chili
but
boats.
You know what? If you go to that game, sit and cheer your girls on. Cheer them on. I coached at – I left Dominican, went to Calvary Baptist. 67 kids in the whole school. It was a great 3 years coaching my son. I then went to another school. My wife came to the first game. Nobody knew her. I got home and she said, I will never, ever come to another game there. And I said, really? She said, you have no idea what these guys are saying about you. I said, they don't even know me. She said, exactly. They don't know me, but I won't do it. And she came back to one game and sat in the other student section and said, if you coach there, I'd come back. Because one kid started yelling at a kid on your team, and one of the seniors said, we don't do that here. Knock it off. I would come back to that. Hey, guys, we could go another 3 hours, and I really appreciate your time. We should do this more often because Absolutely. We can keep telling stories. But I think when we shake it all out, what we're trying to do is get parents to talk to their kids about becoming officials. Younger people, talk to your parents about, hey, look, I think I want to do this. Go to the WIAA website, or what I would do is Google Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. You want to be part of the biggest one here in Southeast Wisconsin. Hey, these other officials are going to be mad at me because I'm talking about you guys all the time. They are, aren't they? Ah, yeah, yeah. We're down at St. Catharines today. Better not be any problems with that. Look, they're all good. This is the biggest one. These are the guys that we invited in. They invited me in. I invited them in. Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. Go to their website. Andy, good luck today. Go Mighty Saints.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, who do you
Mike.
Who do you play?
Christ King. Tulsa, ooh, Battle for Tulsa.
Battle for Tulsa. Jeff Lewis, good to see you again.
Likewise.
Again, Wisconsin Basketball Officials Association. Go to that website and start the ball rolling to become a young official. And parents, cool it. Enough of this stuff. Thanks for listening. This is the U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.